Welcome to day 203. We are up to Perek Zayin, Mishnah Zayin, and this is the very last Mishnah of the 7th Perek, and then we will start the 8th Perek together. Now this last Mishnah continues the theme of the previous Mishnayos. Says the Mishnah, Zara es achas mehem, if you planted one of them. What does that mean, one of them? So in the last Mishnah, we learned about a case in which a person has two boxes, both full of produce. One box is truma, and the other box is chulin. The problem is, you don't know which is which. You know one is truma and one is chulin, but you don't know whether A is chulin and B is truma, or A is truma and B is chulin, and then you planted one of them. Let's say you planted the produce from box A. Says the Mishnah, Pater, you're exempt. What does it mean you're exempt? The halacha is that one who plants truma, even unintentionally, has to immediately uproot it, has to plow it and uproot it. And by the way, if it grows, then that which grows from it is considered full-fledged truma. So in this case, if you planted the seeds from box A and you're not sure whether box A was truma or chulin, then Pater, you're exempt. You can assume that that which you planted was actually the chulin box. But if that's true, then Bahashnia, then box B, if box A you can assume is chulin, that's a great leniency like we saw previously, then box B needs to be treated like truma, knowing baka truma. Then you have to treat box B like truma. But it's still going to be subject to the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi that we saw yesterday. So, the chayeves b'chala divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says still you have to separate chala from him. You know that you have to separate chala, you have to remove a portion of the dough and give it to a kohen. That's specifically by non-truma, by chulin. So, says Rabbi Meir, even though we have to treat box B like truma, because we're treating box A like chulin, so you have to treat box B like truma, still, you have to keep the stringencies as if it's chulin also, because there's a possibility that box B really is the one that's chulin, and therefore, not only do you treat it like truma, but you also have to separate chala as if it were chulin. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yossi Poter, Rabbi Yossi exempts you from having to pay chala, having to separate chala, because he says, no, lean into the leniency, lean into this halacha. If we're saying that box A really is chulin, then that's the new halachic reality, and we can treat box B like truma entirely, and therefore, you would not have to worry that maybe it's chulin. No, it's truma, and you would not have to separate chala. Now, Zara Achar Sashniya. Now, imagine someone else comes and plants box B. Box B that we said, now we're assuming is truma, they plant box B, putter. You're still exempt. Why? Because that person is allowed to use the same exact leniency that you used. You're allowed to assume that which you planted was chulin, and that person's allowed to assume that which they planted is chulin, even though maybe those two together aren't compatible, but each one on its own, you're allowed to assume is chulin, and therefore there's a tremendous leniency there. But Zara Echad Shteyim, if one person, let's say you planted both boxes, then for sure you planted truma because you planted both, then Badavar Shazara Kala Mutter, if it's something, if it's a type of produce which the seeds disintegrate into the ground, they don't really last in the ground, then Mutter, then you do not have to uproot it. That's a halacha that we're going to learn later on, that as long as seeds disintegrate, then you would not have to uproot it, and that which grows from it would not be considered truma, and that's like wheat and barley. Badavar Sha'ain Zara Kala, but something that doesn't disintegrate, as Kahati and the Bartanura say, Bashum, Bitsalim, like garlic and onions, they remain intact in the ground, then Usser, then you would have to uproot it, and if you didn't, then that which grows from it would need to be treated like truma. That is the end of Perek Zayin. Again, very similar themes and the same structure as the previous Mishnayos. And now we go to Perek Ches. And Perek Ches, it's funny enough, actually goes back to a previous topic, which is about someone who is not allowed to eat truma, who eats truma. In our case, we're going to talk about a person who thought they really were allowed to eat truma, but then they find out afterwards that they weren't. And we're going to see three categories of people like that. First of all, ha'isha shahaisa ocheles batruma, a woman who was eating truma, a woman who is married to a kohen, as we said before, we're going to assume that that's the case, a woman who is married to a kohen is allowed to eat truma. Then, ba'u v'amrula, she was eating truma, and then afterwards, someone came to her and said, meis ba'alech, by the way, your husband had died. O gersheich, or he divorced you. In those cases, she's no longer married, and therefore, no longer married to the kohen, therefore she's not allowed to eat truma anymore. By the way, as an aside, how is it possible that she can get divorced without knowing? Because she can actually send a messenger to accept a divorce document, to accept the get for her, and perhaps she was eating the truma because she didn't think the messenger accepted it yet, so she thought she was still married. Then she finds out after, no, the messenger had already accepted the get, she was already divorced when she was eating that truma. That's case number one. Case number two, or category number two, a servant of a kohen is allowed to eat truma, and imagine he ate truma, and they said afterwards, Meis Rabach, your master died, and therefore you really weren't allowed to eat truma. Oh, Machrach Yisrael, or you were sold to Yisrael. I know it rubs us, our modern sensibilities, the wrong way, but we're learning it just from the halachic perspective and understanding that at one point there was perhaps a different reality. Oh, Machrach Yisrael, or you were sold to Yisrael, and therefore you're no longer part of the household of the kohen, and you were not allowed to eat truma. Oh, Nisanach Matana, or you were given someone else as a gift. Oh, Asach Ben Chorin, or the Kohen, who is your master, freed you, then again, you're not allowed to eat truma anymore because you're not part of his household. Then, so that's the second category. And now the third category is V'chein Kohen. Imagine a Kohen himself, Shaya Ocha B'truma, was eating truma. V'noda, Shehu Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. And then he finds out afterwards that he was actually the son of a divorcee. A divorcee is not allowed to marry a Kohen, and therefore, vice versa, the Kohen's not allowed to marry a divorcee, and therefore the product of that doesn't have the status of a full Kohen. O Ben Chalutza, or someone who is the son of a Chalutza. I'll explain that separately, but it has to do with when a brother dies without kids, then the brother marries the widow, and if they don't want to go through with that, then they do Chalitza. And the a chalutza is not allowed to marry a Kohen either. So in this case, he finds out afterwards that he's the son of one of those marriages, so he's not allowed to eat truma. And because it was an illicit union, and therefore he's not allowed to eat truma. So in any of those cases, the woman who finds out she wasn't allowed to eat truma, or the eved that finds out that he wasn't allowed to eat truma, or the Kohen himself, Rabbi Eliezer mechayiv keren b'chomesh. Rabbi Eliezer requires that person to pay back the principal and the chomesh, and an additional fifth, meaning to say we treat that person like anyone else who ate truma, who was not allowed to eat truma, like a zar, a total Yisrael, or a zara, right? Someone who was not allowed to eat truma and did so accidentally or unintentionally, I should say, and that's an important distinction. Therefore, they have to pay back a keren b'chomesh, even though they didn't know that. They thought they were doing an okay thing. Still, they're just like anyone else who eats it illicitly, and therefore you'd have to pay back the principal and a fifth. Rabbi Yeshua Potter, Rabbi Yeshua says no. Rabbi Yeshua exempts them. Why? Because he sees them as an ones, as someone who eats it accidentally, not unintentionally. There's a difference in halacha between a shogeg and an ones. Shogeg is unintentional. It's someone that it was unintentional, but you probably could have done a little bit more to try to prevent it. Whereas an ones is a total accident, and that's much more lenient in halacha. So Rabbi Eliezer says this person did it unintentionally. Perhaps they could have figured out, could have done more research as to whether you really had the status of a Kohen or a Kohenes, therefore you're allowed to eat truma. Because they didn't, that was considered shogeg. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua says, no, these people had the total right to think that they were allowed to eat truma, and therefore it was totally accidental that they ended up eating it when they weren't allowed to, and therefore they're totally exempt from paying back anything. Now, a similar case. Imagine this: a Kohen was bringing karbonos, was actually bringing sacrifices on the mizbeach, on the altar. But know that Shuben Grusha Ben Chalutza, and then finds out afterwards that again he was a product of one of these illicit marriages, and therefore he wasn't allowed to bring karbonos. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Kol Karbonos Shehikrav Agam Mizbeach Psulin. Any karbon that he brought on top of the mizbeach is pasul, is ineligible, and you have to bring a new karbon because he wasn't a Kohen. He wasn't allowed to bring those karbonos. Rabbi Yeshua Machsher. Rabbi Yeshua says that they're fine. That which he brought is fine. Now, it's tempting to say that the reason is the same as the last case because it was totally accidental, but the Mefarshim point out that it also has to do with a pasuk that seems to say that there are cases in which a Kohen who's a chalal, that's the term for one who is the product of one of those illicit marriages, a Kohen is a chalal, sometimes if he brings karbanos, it would still count, and therefore that's a source for this, that even if he's a chalal and he brought karbanos, it would still count. And that would explain, that explanation explains the last line, no teshu bal mum, but if you find out that he had some sort of physical a problem that would prevent him from having the status of a Kohen in order to bring karbanos, then Abu Dasa Psula. Then that which he brought, even according to Rabbi Yeshua, would be ineligible. The karbanos don't count because the pasuk that says that that which the chalal brings it still works, is specifically by a chalal, specifically by someone who is the product of an illicit marriage, but not someone who has some sort of physical issue that would prevent him from bringing their karbanos. So therefore, in that case, Rabbi Yeshua would agree that the karbanos are pasul. So Rabbi Yeshua, by the way, we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua in all of these cases, the more lenient approach, that the karbanos are okay, assuming that it was a chalal, and they would not have to pay back because it was a total accident in all of those cases. That is Mishnah Aleph. We'll continue in Mishnah Beis tomorrow.